Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight for a review of the news and Ask Me Anything Tonight. There's not much happening in the news, so I thought it would be a great time to see if anyone has questions, and you can join me if you would like to speak on the show. Join me in the Discord. You follow up the Discord link down below the video, and by going to the waiting room I will see you and I will slide you in the JF lounge when I'm ready to get you on the show, if you would like. But you can also use the chat to communicate with me. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? This is not an argument, says Oli. He is live. Okay. Here, I'm going to remove that chat. Don't do it again. How are you doing? There is a breaking news. The Senate has been enacting the daylight savings being permanent, the Sunshine Protection Act. The way they phrase these things, Sunshine Protection Act. No, you just want to return to a normal measure of time that doesn't suddenly change for no reason at all in the spring and in the fall for... This has been ridiculous, but I'm happy to see that politicians are now thinking about abolishing the changes of daily savings time in the US, and I guess that Canada would follow. For now, it's the Senate. We'll see if the House approves it, but it's been a ridiculous thing. We want something that measures time, and... If it so happens that during the summer the sun rises earlier in the day, I want to know it. I don't want to be fooled about it by fooled measure. It's like, imagine that they were to say, all right, we're going to change the Fahrenheit and the Celsius measure so that in the winter it feels colder, because whenever it's written 18, we'll say it's 23 degrees. So that way you'll want to heat your home less. That doesn't make sense. This is exactly the opposite of the goal of what a measure is. Dead Star says, why not a global 24-hour clock? Exactly, that would be the next step, but I don't think we're going to get there. That would be a beautiful step where I don't have to say to my guest, it's 7 p.m. Eastern time. Like, they would immediately know. Why not, in fact, Linux seconds? Why not the number of seconds that elapsed since 1st of January 1970? That would be beautiful. All right. No White Guild Clips says, JF, I purchased the Revolutionary Phenotype last night and can't put it down. I'm already halfway through it. Wonderful. I'm happy that, there's been plenty of sales this month. I don't know. I can't track anymore what leads to the rises in sale, but somehow it still works and it's still a great book and it's still a book that hasn't been debunked. I'm very proud of it. Unfortunately, we still haven't gotten like scientific engagement. Like, I would like to have scientists actually disagree with the book. It's so painful to have just Robert Rivers saying, oh yeah, Dada, yeah, you're right, wonderful book, very good, yeah, keep going. I would like to have some opposition. I took a bold stance in this book, like, come on, give me something, bro. Perfect, very well done, JF. Does Richard Dawkins disagree with anything in there? Why can't he speak about it? At Smiley sends 25 LBC. Thank you so much for supporting the show. All right, we had a couple of questions that came in before the show. Sprocket sent a super chat on entropy. He says, I'm glad you strawmanned my super chats yesterday because it showed you have no response to my criticism. I'm also not seeing how this invasion is weakening the left. Biden's approval is up. Slava Ukraini. Sprocket, I don't even know how would I have strawmanned your super chats when in fact I read all of your super chats. I read them word for word. So once you read something word for word, it's not a straw man. What I said after was a response to your super chat. So I have no clue what you're accusing me of here. And as far as I'm also not seeing how this invasion is weakening the left. I didn't say this invasion is weakening the left. Never said this. This invasion is weakening the West. Not the left. I never said this. Like, before you criticize me, try to think a little bit. Try to make sure you repeat in your head, what does JF believe? What did he state? Never said it would undermine the left. It will undermine, long term, it will undermine the West as a whole. All right. Join me on Entropy if you'd like to send me super chats. Entropy is my favorite platform for super chats and the right way to support the show. Is this the end of the petrodollar? That is my question, because we are seeing nations that are producing oil, Saudi Arabia, inviting China for negotiations and discussions on strengthening ties, and that is a sign that America is being excluded from the energy industry progressively, and it's beautiful to see because it's one of the beautiful outcomes we can expect from Russia's rise against Ukraine. It's a stronger China, and it's eventually the USD being reduced to a transactional entity that has no backing, not much backing in energy. The left, in a way, has pushed our countries away from being producers of energy, and as such, they are delegating to other nations to have the power over the tap of our energy. And as such, they may have actually delegated the status of superpower eventually to China, or maybe there won't be superpowers. But it's clear that America looks very weak throughout these crises, throughout Afghanistan, the Butch withdrawal, and now Russia, where all it can do is sanctions. But by showing that all it can do is sanctions, it's showing that it doesn't have the power to impose what happens in the world anymore. Ariel Suarez says, do you want the West as a whole weakened, Jeff? I want the West leveled. I'm not sure. I want the West flat. I want my house to be the last remaining thing standing. But yes, I will take a weaker West. I'll take a weaker West in the meantime. But yeah, we want the West weaker. I mean, you do what you want. Maybe you're not like me, but personally, I know that the only thing that will remove the oppression of Western government is Western governments not existing anymore. So there's no way around it. It's going to have to be the case that they have so little resources that they cannot do their COVID craze anymore, that they cannot run their family courts anymore. This is the goal. So yes, I want a weaker West. That's the least of things I want. Ariel Suarez says, the flatter, the better. John Drake says, Jeff means this in a non-violent way, right? Absolutely. Non-violently repurposing of the West into a large parking space for our Chinese overlord. That is what I'm talking about. We will lay out the asphalt for this parking space non-violently, I can guarantee. U.S. Navy warship was at sea when officials said it was undeployable. Look, the American government lied to a judge. There was a judge saying, all right, you guys have denied... Yeah, there was a commander of this Navy warship, and he didn't want to get vaccinated. So the army started saying, well, no, we reject your religious objection to the vaccine, and we're going to go see a judge if you contest this. So he contested. It all started in front of a judge, and they said to the judge, With this commander not vaccinated, we cannot run this Navy ship. And so that means that we will be unable to potentially respond to aggression. So it puts the US in a very weak position just because this commander doesn't have the vaccine. And the judge called their bullshit, because now we found out much later after this statement has been done that the ship was already at sea. The commander was unvaccinated and he was already operational because the ship was operating. There was no problem. So the US government made it look like, oh, you are threatening national security, judge. But no, you weren't, because there was no problem. The commander was unvaccinated and operating the ship. And so that's a dent into the whole narrative that the Biden administration tried doing. This whole conception that, everyone needs to get vaccinated or it's a threat to our troops. This judge is about to open up a legal precedent that would eventually protect a lot of other militaries. So excellent news that they got called out. I'm happy about it. Petrodollar, we have a super chat. Fractal Man says, it is rumored the Saudis may sell oil in yuan. Do you think this leads to a U.S. invasion? Iraq made similar overtures before they were invaded. That's an important thing that I want to talk about. I need to take 2 seconds. I'll be back and I will answer your question. All right. So, yes, this meeting with the Saudis and China is extremely interesting. I've commented already on it at the beginning of the show. I think it's an excellent news for those who want to see the USD fall. In combination with the Bitcoin attack on the USD, I would say it undermines America being a superpower long term. I think it's going to be one of the hits. There will be two hits. One, Bitcoin is already protecting against money printing, because the whole sick circle that exists with the USD is that the USD is used for actual trade of actual petroleum oil, and this gives value to the USD, and the Fed exists as an entity to drain that energy by inventing new USD. As long as this vicious circle exists, it's a lot of power in the hands of the American government and in the hands of the Fed. Now, if the world starts operating away from the American-centric USD, and the world really functions in that way and it works well for everyone, the USD, now printing the USD, becomes much more punishing, because you're printing without a backing value. You're printing really paper money. You're inventing money out of thin air. And combined with the Bitcoin hit on the American economy, I think it's going to deprive governments of power in the long run. So it's beautiful. Liquid says, economic collapse is imminent. Millions will starve. People will submit to the globalists. The Great Reset is unfolding. I don't think the Great Reset is unfolding, or if it's unfolding, it's significantly different from what they expected. There's bumps in the road, basically. So that was the article on Zero Hedge, which is also related to your super chat. Petrodollar cracks. Saudi Arabia considers accepting yuan for Chinese oil sales. One of the core staples of the past 40 years and an anchor propping up the dollar's reserve status was a global financial system based on the petrodollar. This was a world in which oil producers would sell their product to the US and the rest of the world for dollars, which they would then recycle in the proceeds in dollar-dominated assets, and while investing in dollar-dominated markets, explicitly propping up the USD as the world reserve currency, and in the process backed up the standing of the US as the world's undisputed financial power. This is coming to an end, and that's beautiful. We have Bird Dude in the room. Let's see if we can speak with him. Hello, Bird Dude. Are you there?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. What's up?
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing these days?
Doing great.
I just wanted perhaps to reflect on kind of the universal stance of pronatalism that I think is the general message. And what prompts this kind of question is, yesterday we were talking about Elon Musk having his eighth child. Mm-hmm. And you said, that's based. That's great. You know, but whatever your opinion on Elon Musk is. At the same time, I have been listening to you for a while, and I get the feeling that there are times when you discourage certain people from reproduction. Is that ever?
When did I ever do this?
Okay, like if it was dysgenic, for example, somebody with dominant genetic disorder.
Even the things that I hate in society, even governments, let's say. I've never told we should apply a dysgenic operation onto the government agents. I never said if your government agents don't make babies. So I would challenge your interpretation there. I want a world in which, yes, there are no forces favoring the competitors, favoring the people who I think are building a detestable world. But I've never advocated for telling them not to breed.
Okay, I can perfectly understand if it's a question of policy. I just meant, like, in terms of encouraging something, not saying, like, I hope the state prevents you from breeding, but just, like, not discouraging somebody from breeding. Like, is there any circumstance in which you would ever say, hey, you know, it's probably not a good idea if such and such breeds for such and such reason?
Well, no, not really, because there's the whole question of when you send such signals, what are you truly doing? And isn't the world developing a resistance against your signals? We must never forget that signals are free. And so telling people not to breed is like wishing that in three generations from now, no one will listen to you. Because in three generations from now, anyone who actually listens to you will have stopped breeding, and they will have been outcompeted by those who don't listen to you. So I always say a eugenic signal of a voluntary and non-costly kind does not work. It actually builds resistance in the population you're trying to stop from making babies.
Okay, that's what I thought would be closer to what I believed your opinion to be, because as far as I know, you're kind of an evolutionary maximalist. Basically, let breeding be free and those who survive will survive.
Yes, and the problem is that in our society, there are so many deceptive signals present and so many bad incentives to breed, like government employment will lead to breeding of new government-dependent people in the future. So because of this, my philosophy is to change the world a lot from what it is right now. But it's not through convincing people not to breed. To the contrary, what I would want is a world in which evolution is unimpeded by dishonest forces.
In terms of dishonest forces, and this is kind of the crux of what I'm trying to get at here, referring to yesterday's conversation about, well, discussion about Elon Musk having a surrogate, potentially, it may or may not be true, but let's say he did.
Yeah.
He went to for a surrogate to have his eighth child. Would you be, I don't know. I don't know why I'm asking like your opinion precisely, but more like, is it a good idea in like modern society to allow unimpeded reproduction, even if that means going through somewhat non-traditional means? And this isn't like in vitro necessarily. This is like a private agreement with a third party who's a female to have a child, and they be the biological mother, but have nothing to do with the lives of the person. I know it's not ideal, but
so we don't know. We don't know in the case of Elon Musk if this was the deal. If the egg comes from the surrogate mother or the eggs come from implantation. But given that it's likely to me that it comes from the surrogate mother, because implantation is quite a difficulty. And very often when you do implantation, you implant 3-4 eggs, and it leads to twins very often. So I think he just fucked a surrogate mother. And to that extent, to me, it's not a surrogacy relationship. It is, it's just polygamy. And so we have to know that although we're judging all of this as surrogacy, what it really is to me biologically is polygamy. He just had another girlfriend that he inseminated. So that being said, in general, the idea of surrogacy, is it good? No, it's not good, because it disconnects the, especially when the legal parent becomes the non-biological mother, because it unlinks the parental talent from the genes. So in other words, there are certain genes that are either benefiting or being punished by bad or good parental behavior that doesn't come from these genes. So it's like the wrong alignment between the genes benefiting or not benefiting from the situation and the ability of the parent to dedicate energy. So it's a form of cuckoldry. It's a form of drainage of energy. So it's a dishonest, if you will, way to go forward. That being said, I'm not judging Elon Musk personally for this, because he may have been dealing with a very special woman here in Grimes, and who knows how fucked up this girl is in the head. And, you know, who knows what the true deal is here. Perhaps they are not even together anymore, but he just wants to keep her around for her baby that she already produced biologically. From that perspective, it could be justifiable. If in the head of Elon Musk, what he's doing is ensuring the alignment between Grimes and her biological baby by including her in the deal of surrogacy, but what he's really doing is getting a new mother essentially for the new baby, that could make sense genetically.
Okay. I guess what this all leads to is, as you said, you're against kind of these dishonest, and I completely agree with you. I understand it's suboptimal, is putting it lightly.
Yeah.
Less than ideal to have these kinds of arrangements where you have, the egg comes from this person, delivered by this person, etc.
Yeah.
And the mother is the third person.
Because the downstream effect of this, if we were to do a lot of surrogate deals like this, in a couple generations down the line, you have everyone born dependent and yet everyone unable to deliver good maternal care. That is the consequence long term. When you dissociate the genes from the parental care, and essentially everyone who successfully reproduces is essentially doing the cuckold thing, the surrogate thing, then there are no more good mothers left at the end.
Yeah, but it's not going to be everybody who tries to do this non-traditional surrogacy. Well,
people say this. People say this until they won't say this. I mean, every evolutionary change that happens is because eventually it becomes everybody. why did we switch from chimpanzee-like communication to human-like language? But it's because at all stages, you could have some people say, oh no, I can't believe everybody is going to speak super clean English with capacities for writing, and yet everyone ended up being like this, basically.
Am I taking up too much time right now?
No. Anyways, there's very rare. It's very rare that we get a lot of people in the queue because people send their questions in written form. But yeah, take all the time you want.
Okay, great. Because I wouldn't want to be that guy. But you know, I am a nightly watcher, and sometimes I think you and I we think very similarly.
Like, so take us through your life. I mean, don't reveal any detail you wouldn't want to reveal, but I like to get to know what kind of person likes JFG tonight.
I'm not sure if I'm the typical viewer. I mean,
well, give us an idea of what you do, who you are.
Right now I'm basically working on starting a business.
Nice. You know,
nothing fancy, just some internet retail stuff.
Okay.
You know, I used to think I got a STEM degree, but that was in engineering. But mm-hmm. I found myself drawn to biology.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, I took electives, but I guess that doesn't really matter anymore. This was like over a decade ago.
Okay.
And I didn't make the mistake of going to grad school, at least because I had a lot of friends who did, and they told me about it. I went directly to the market. And my first job was crappy, of course.
Okay.
And I kind of just worked my way up the corporate ladder. And then I guess when COVID happened, you know, I'm going to admit that, you know, I took it very seriously.
Oh yeah.
As embarrassing as it is, I'm not going to use words here. Like in January of 2020,
yeah.
You know, I said I'm going to lock down. Number one. And number two, and I know it's really embarrassing to say, but and number two, I was wearing a mask in January of 2020.
Yeah.
And people
before
were
it was
like,
first.
And they looked at me like I was crazy.
Well,
I'd be like,
actually. It's not so shameful because the societal response that came later is shameful. But if there's one moment you want to be like this, overcautious, it's at the beginning when you don't know what it's going to look like.
Even more embarrassing, I went to a supermarket wearing a paint respirator, and I don't think I'm ever going to live that down.
No, that is super. That is really nice, actually.
Like full face mask, like a space marine thing.
Was it following my episode where I explained how to protect yourself from a very dangerous virus?
No, actually, I was turning off all media at that point.
Okay.
Because I was like, I had a bit of a hiatus from your... I think it was it still... The public space back then?
I don't remember if it was the public space. I don't think so. I think it was JFG Tonight, the beginning.
Yeah, I was...
So have you gotten the vax?
I unfortunately did get one. The thing
You got one dose, not two doses?
Correct.
So and you're still unvaxxed. You're
unvaxxed. Yeah, everyone's unvaxxed.
You're unvaxxed among the vaxxed, and you're vaxxed among the unvaxxed.
I'm a pariah, basically.
You're like those mixed-race people who don't
exactly
find any way to identify.
Just in the summer, it kind of... When was this? It was summer 2021. I was just... you know, I was trying to put myself out there after, you know, all that isolation, trying to, you know, find a good woman, you know, do all that stuff. And you have to go out, and the regulations, I'm in Ontario.
Okay. Oh yeah, in Ontario, if you want to be on the dating scene in Ontario, you had to be vaxxed.
Yeah, pretty much exactly.
Wow.
That. So I kind of blew a gasket, and I was like, you know what? And it was... it was almost like a coming to Christ moment, if I could describe it. That's not the way I felt. I mean, that's the way they reacted to me. And ironically enough, the vaccination spot was in a church.
Ah, so they were welcoming you like the people at church who say, oh, you've accepted Jesus, now you're one of us.
It was incredible. Like, I went to the door and these two guards were like, do you have an appointment for vaccination? And I said, oh, shit, no. I'm allowed to swear here, right?
Sorry. Yeah, sure. Like, it's Odyssey.
Right, okay. I was like, oh, shit. No, do I have to come back another day? Because this was like a really impulsive decision. Uh-huh. And I said, no. And he pulls the schedule from his pocket and he just writes in, yeah, okay, now you have an appointment. Please
oh
come
my
in.
God. Wow. You did the right thing. We will help you get through it.
Oh man. It's like they were just waiting for me to come in. And fortunately, I spent like a couple days kind of headachey. But
oh yeah.
And I was scheduled for a vaccine. I don't remember what it was, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever the regulations were back then. But they keep changing it. But by the time I was there, I guess I was just watching your show and you were talking about vaccine effectiveness. And at the same time, I have to negotiate with my parents and my family about, like, I know I don't have to do everything that they say, but at the same time, extremely important to maintain a good relationship with your father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt, for example, she got COVID. And the very first thing she does when she recovers is she texts me and she says, please get vaccinated. She said, I'm triple vaxxed and it was very bad for me. So imagine how bad it can be. That kind of backwards logic.
Oh my God. It's so much of it is through peer pressure. It's amazing. I hear of girlfriends who are pressuring their boyfriends. We have to stop it there because it's going to be much worse than the vaccine. I mean, this is an overtake of feminine attitudes over masculine behavior that just will span over everything we do.
I think it's already much worse than that in terms of the dating. I think they have complete and utter control. I don't want to sound too much like a...
So how's the dating life? Are you succeeding?
Oh no. It's absolutely terrible.
Why?
I guess that's another interesting question. I'm sorry that M Dog is in the waiting room, but
no, it's all good.
Is it worth holding out for like a good genetic specimen, and somebody that you really get along with, like everything kind of flows together.
Or define holding out.
I guess that's the crux of the issue. Like,
basically, if holding out means anything, no.
Like delaying marriage by like 10 years. It's like, I'm going to wait. I'm going to find a better mate, for example.
No. One now is better than two tomorrow.
Yeah. I feel like you're gonna say
what is the circumstance under which she would hold you reproductionless 10 years? What's her excuse?
I'm not talking about a particular woman. I mean,
okay,
like, one comes along, you're like, okay, I think I can do better than this. Or you find that she has...
Oh, no, I mean, okay, if you're just talking about your choice and it doesn't come from her imposition... then it's a matter of just your evaluation of you on the market. But in general, if you have something available that looks like a woman, it's a good idea. It's a good idea to inseminate.
Yeah, that looks like a woman.
But it depends on your quality also. I mean, you know your beauty. You're telling me that you had some engineering studies, so perhaps you can do a good salary that can make you attractive on the dating market. But in general, you just go for whatever shows up in front of you and wants to fuck you.
But I mean, doesn't that increase the risk? Like, I had an opportunity years ago when I was dumb and in my 20s. To be with somebody.
Oh yeah. How old are you?
At this point, I'm 33.
33. We always look back at the loves of the 20s, and it's like, oh my God, maybe I should have cared a little more about this girl, because it gets worse throughout life.
What gets worse?
The quality of the woman. I mean, like, if I look at my very young teenage loves, like, it seems that they would have been perfect partner that would have stuck to me. It's not that I discarded any of them, but you end up thinking, oh my God, wasn't she sweet? Wasn't she kind compared to the experienced older woman who are more aggressive, who drop you as soon as they can and who cheat on you? I mean, it's something to think about, those loves of the 20s and the early teenage years.
I guess it was kind of a tough situation. The reason I bring it up, aside from the therapeutic thing, she would have had my babies, like right then and there.
Okay.
Like, she definitely would have, but I didn't think that she was, I guess, stable, let's say, or I don't think she was, like, responsible enough in her own life to be a mother.
Mm-hmm.
That was my judgment. And I told my brother-in-law this the other day, that I kind of hold these regrets all the time. And as the years go on, obviously it gets worse and worse. And he says, you know, you dodged a bullet, because what basically she's going to do is she's going to take your kid from you, and she's going to raise that kid to say that daddy's evil.
Yes. You know? Is that what she did with another guy later, or?
I don't know. She ended up having a child out of wedlock.
Okay.
That's such a traditional term. She ended up having a child just with some random sperm donor.
Like, I mean, it sucks, this situation, that they will raise their kids and teach them to hate their fathers. But my conclusion on this aspect of dating is that you have no control over this. You don't know if you're going to take a master's of pharmaceutical studies, super cute, married to you, and yet she's going to do it also. So it's not like you can detect in a woman that she will do this. You can't. So my approach is inseminate and hope.
You really can, huh?
You can't. That's the problem. In fact, very educated women will just be smarter about deceiving you into thinking that they won't do that. I mean, you really can't. I had masters of psychology do this to me. I've had fucking trash of the street do it to me. Is there any way I could have known? No.
Okay. Well, definitely.
So you give up this fear because it's an anxiety that is omnipresent in society for males, because the legal system totally disadvantages us. And so you give up on what you can't control. What you can control, though, is your rate of insemination up to 40 years old. You can make sure that if one woman does this to this and a second woman does this to you, that you're going to have a shot at a third, fourth, and fifth woman for a third, fourth, and fifth chance to have a family. And if you set your life so that you inseminate five different women, just out of the randomness of the universe, one of them may stick with you.
Wow, I was hoping.
It is a low hope to have, but it is all that this planet is ready to give us. And maybe if Putin can reach Paris and eventually Montreal, maybe things might change, but for now, that's what we have in the West. But you're talking about a brother-in-law, so you have a girlfriend?
No. My sister's husband. That's a brother-in-law, right?
Ah, okay. Okay, I see. Well. Did you have opportunities that have opened to you and that you've denied because you judged the quality was too low?
Oh, yeah. Every time. Yeah.
Every time?
I had a woman in my bed just a few months ago. Like, so,
what would be an example of a reason for rejection?
She's not thick enough.
Not thick enough? Are you fucking kidding me?
Just like, she's not attractive, or she's not attractive. you know?
But you say not attractive, but you say not thick enough. So you're telling me that you had one of these cute, thin, bone-displaying women, and you don't find her attractive enough? Do you realize that every inch of fat that they have on them is a reserve of energy to fuck you up eventually? Do you realize that, bro, the amount of fat on a woman is the amount of fat she can go on without a provider. It's the energy. E equals MC2, bro.
So we're anti-thick in the JF sphere.
These women who are beautiful and ultra thin have much less energy, and they have self-love, and they are much more likely to stick with you.
Yeah, it reminds me of...
You should consider a take, because if that's your... Bro, people on the chat must be laughing their ass off, and some of them might be crying, in fact.
I don't want to.
Because each of these guys on the chat that are single would do anything to get a thin woman like those you reject.
Well, now I feel like an asshole.
Well, yeah, do it for them. Give her a shot in their name, at least. Because they would dream of having these thin women. You want a fat woman?
Not a fat woman, you know, just... Like,
but you want one of these rap video clips,
twerking? Like, just wide hips. My God.
Wide hips.
She's
going to have wide hips once you have 10 babies in her. There will come a time where she has wide hips, believe me. I mean, it's... Fractal Man says, give hot skinny woman a chance.
Give what?
Give hot skinny woman a chance.
Okay.
We're going to do a song. It's going to be like give peace a chance.
Okay. Well.
No, but seriously, I'm doing a lot of jokes here. But seriously, I would consider that this is truly an invalid reason to reject these women. I don't know what's wrong with your genes, but you have to be attracted by these women who are displaying essentially to you that they were never inseminated, so that you'll be the first to have a baby in there. And the reason they are thin is because they've never been inseminated.
Never thought of that before, actually.
Yeah, it's a sign. That's why youth is attractive. That's why small boobs are attractive. That's why a body of a woman that has never been pregnant is the most attractive thing. And that's why models hesitate to have babies sometimes, because it means not being a model anymore.
It sounds like something I would have read in evolutionary psychology, you know, that.
Yeah. Kind of thing. And it makes total sense from an evolutionary perspective. I don't know why you would discard them, really, but it's probably related to, well, cultural signals. I think you may, I was joking, but I think you may seriously have been penetrated by a kind of Afro-American culture of some kind in terms of your taste, and you need to be reprogrammed, because it's beautiful to have a woman who shows no sign of health problems and who is perfectly fit to have many of your babies.
Yeah, I don't like watch rap videos or anything. I'm not into that entire sphere of anything.
Okay.
It could still penetrate culturally, I guess. You know?
Yeah, maybe.
You don't really consider the signals that you get.
Now, it's also the case that we are in Nordic nations, and perhaps some of our ancestry looked for signs of thickness because that was needed to survive the winter. But when you look at the Nordic nations where females are super slim and beautiful, like Sweden, Norway, it seems that it's not necessary for survival.
Is it a good idea to like taller women?
Well, you know, if you're down to rejecting a woman because of her height, I would say you might end up with no babies at all in your life. To me, it's not a factor at all. I understand that a very tall woman is beautiful, but if that's a deal breaker, or if you forego an opportunity just because of this, I would say you're working against your own interest. What about the virtue and the qualities of the woman you have rejected? Those women who are not enough thick. Well, were they showing any sign that they could be loyal?
No.
No.
That
would be a good reason to drop a woman, you know, if you really feel that she's catchy in general and that she's going to fuck you up in every possible way. But even there, I mean, it may or may not be a reason, depending on whether you have a better alternative.
Okay. I think, kind of circling back, and this is the last thing, I think the way society, we live in a society, I don't know what to call it, like the mixture of capitalism and culture and all this stuff, is leading towards surrogacy. Like, as sad as it sounds.
Oh, well, yeah, it's the disposable male myth being enacted into action, definitely. I
mean, if you want to satisfy your sexual appetites, you know, you go to somebody's OnlyFans and you get their nude pictures, or you get a prostitute or whatever, and that's like pro-social these days.
Yeah.
You know, and if you feel the need to have biological children, well, it's the same thing. You spend money and you get services of a womb. So it's all transactional with money. That's the cultural signal that's the sum of cultural signals that I'm getting
these absolutely days. That's what they want you to do. So, and there's a big draining force of the cities and the kind of modern culture. Women are attracted to this. And at times you have to get out of this culture and find a woman that's totally outside of it. And she will be happy to form a union with you. Or you have to take a woman out of this modern lifestyle. That's harder and it's more risky, but you can try. But those are our two options. Otherwise, yes, the world is progressing toward disposable males and eventually perhaps no males at all in the reproductive act with genetic technology.
Yeah, that's what I fear.
Absolutely. But I still think that there is something that males contribute to society and that we just have to learn to stop making that contribution for free. There's so much of a self-sacrificial nature in the genetics of male today, but I think it's misguiding them because our world has been designed to drain the contribution of males without paying back genetically. And so I think there will be an era of males too self-sacrificial for their own good. They will give services to society such as great scientific advancements, or work, just, you know, the everyday worker that are still, as Jordan Peterson points out, building our giant towns and putting together the sewers and everything. But eventually, the self-sacrificial nature of men will be selected away by the system, and what will be remaining are men with true character and great things to bring to the world, but who will refuse to bring it for free, who will defend their own interest and make sure that they get something in return. For example, selling a book rather than giving your scientific discoveries for free to the world.
Okay. Yeah, I could literally just talk all day, but I'm going to let someone else.
All right. I'm going to speak to MDog, but it was great talking with you.
Thank you so much, JF.
Bye-bye. All right, let's get MDog in. Hello, MDog. How are you doing?
Oh, snap. What's going on, JF? Let me pause the stream. Dang, this is wild. Longtime fan.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, what did you want to talk about?
Just by chance, I wandered in here. I've been watching you for so long, but ever since you got off YouTube, just kind of disappeared from my life.
Yeah.
Didn't follow you to Odyssey. But then I was just going through Discord and I saw I was in here. I was like, oh shit, and I was in the waiting room. So forgive me for not having much prepared, but a few questions came since the last guy took so goddamn long. Just joking, we all good. One analysis, spot on. I think there's something else going on with that guy to be turning down women like that. I had a really close best friend who was just like so picky and it's like, no, I'm waiting for the one. And I'm like, all right, you're right. The one probably exists, but bruh, like you're in the prime of your life. You got to get it done.
Yes.
So I think there's something, I think it might be related to porn, something, I don't know, but we got to just not have that expectation. Like if you want friendship or whatever, you get that from the boys.
Absolutely.
Anyways, a couple things. One, I wanted to get your take on permaculture, because one of the funniest moments I've ever witnessed on stream was when Mama JF, also haven't been updated on the situation. I don't know status of that. So sorry if I'm bringing up old things, but she got you some books on permaculture and you feel like, get this trash out of my face or something like that. It was so funny. Like old school, like I don't need a book to tell me how to grow. Like I respect it. That was my opinion at first as well, but I took it hook, line, and sinker. I'm all about that stuff now. And so I just want to know if you got a deeper take on that, other than it's just a little bit fruity to pretend like there's a perfect plant guild for everything and to just like...
I really don't like the knowledge of humanity when it's packaged under labels like this permaculture, where there was basically permaculture being done before the word existed. There is permaculture being done in farms that do not call themselves permaculture. So I really don't like how there's kind of a imperialistic overtake of this concept, but the reality is much more complex. People, of course, have an inherent interest at making their things sustainable when they are farmers, and I'm not different. Of course, I want my soil to be the most sustainable possible. But I won't call it permaculture because these fuckers annoy me with their fucking YouTube videos.
Awesome. Okay, cool. That's pretty much what my gut was telling me, but you elucidated perfectly. Very nice. Makes sense. I get that now. What was the other thing I was going to ask? So classic situation going on in my family. I'm the only red-pilled one, and I'm very tactical about it. Like, I don't make it an issue, but COVID made it an issue because my brother just got married and just had a baby, and I wasn't going to be allowed to see. It boiled down to I wasn't going to meet my nephew unless I showed proof that I got vaccinated. And I'm a fucking cuck, and I caved, and...
Really?
I'm just kind of...
You got the struggling. Vaccine to see your nephew?
I know, bro, and I had to show him my medical history to get this vaccine, to get that vaccine, and I broke down as a man, kind of, like, I've never been so cucked in my life, and it's hard to come back from that, because I know what I did, and I'm kind of joking about it with the family now, like, you will never know my private information again, and they all think I'm not that pissed about it, but super pissed about it, and... I don't know, like, what should I do in the future? Because they've now made me their bitch, and it's really his wife, to be honest. And
see, like, it stems from the woman. His wife, of course, the wife of your brother, got you to get vaccinated.
No.
I mean, I understand how you feel. You've compelled with the system. And it's a system of feminine oppression, and you got brought in by family ties. I mean, I think it's not so late for you, because yes, you got the vaccine, and that's not undoable. You'll always be stuck with this. But you can recover your male pride by making a statement going forward, which is not, I'm not going to get any further vaccine for you guys. You could actually decide to deprive yourself of what is being held against you. You could leave your nephew behind, leave your brother behind, My attitude, if you try to force me to get a vaccine, my attitude is not only am I going to go my own way, create my own life, I will actually root for another nation to eventually strike you with a nuclear strike. This is how you approach a forced vaccine situation. It's like, yeah. Not only am I going to develop my own life with unvaccinated friends, unvaccinated everything, I'm going to root for you to be cleansed out with alpha particles coming from a nuclear explosion. It will come during the night. You won't even notice. Is all you're going to hear right. before you die.
That's amazing.
So have you considered this?
No, in fact, I didn't. And I interrupted you to say I had considered all options, but in fact, I did not take it that far. I should have. I need to consider all options. But I was thinking, all right, here's what I'll really do. I'll create my own little fortress, and they're not allowed over here. And that's kind of, I don't know, yes. I'm still like trapped in their little control system. And at the end of the day, I do want them to come check out my fortress. And like, I just feel like it's a no-win situation. But I gotta have, gotta have my pride reinstantiated.
But you
somehow.
talk of a control system. What would be the big hurdle in your life right now to never see your brother, his wife, and your nephew ever again? Like, go full Stefan Molyneux on them.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. It would be like decades later when I find out my nephew really needed a, like, I'm the only brother, I'm the only uncle he has, and he's got this mother that I'm learning about, and like,
but
my brother went.
But what he's getting well. Right now is not the uncle he deserves. You are being held in extortion. You are being transformed into the uncle he doesn't need by
sure.
his mother.
Yeah.
So,
but life's not fair. I'm never going to get present in the environment that I wanted to. Like, do I really deprive him of whatever bit of wisdom I could have given him just because of this?
I would consider
doing
it. Or do
I wait for him to reproach me? Yeah.
I would consider the possibility that, first, in this environment where you are displaying to him that men must be cucked to be around other men, you are already sending the bad signal to
yeah,
him.
Fuck.
You're teaching him how to be a slave. Isn't it better, perhaps,
man,
to not teach
so
him
true.
Anything? And that when you speak with him when he's 20, and you happen to see him at the bar, or you're smoking a cigarette somewhere, and he happens to be there, then you can tell him the whole story. And from
yeah.
that one story of unsubmissiveness, he would learn more than 20 years of seeing you as the cuck that you are right now.
I wasn't ready for this amount of truth today. Yeah. Deep down, I knew that's the right.
Would you live a happy life if you weren't around your nephew for the next 18 years?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It seems to me that he's
been
lost. I just
don't want to make a major mistake. He's my only brother. Probably, you know. I don't want to fuck anything up big time.
I mean, you can do whatever you want, but, you know, I have actually a very good relationship with my brothers and with their children and everyone in the family. They would have never asked me to take a vaccine like this. And yet,
yeah.
I don't speak with my brothers more than once a year through text.
Yeah.
And I'm doing good. So, being deprived of social relationships that are impeding on your liberty is not dramatic. I mean, I've been deprived of social relationships
True.
That didn't even
yeah.
impede on my liberty.
Yeah, and in fact, that friend I referenced earlier, like, inner circle friend, best friend, lived with him at UCLA, and ended that shit real quick over a Call of Duty game. So, like, break people off easy. I can do that shit, but...
yeah.
And it's not like he passively joked about, hey, you better get that vaccine. It was like I fought back and I was like, dude, you better be. This is just 100%. This is really what you're doing. So I do.
Ultimately, the vaccine is a minor thing in all this. What happened is that your body boundary was violated. And it's sad that you got the vaccine for all this. But I'm much more worried about the psychological underlining of all this, absolutely, which is she's deciding everything in this child's life, and she's holding, because the way you phrase it, she's holding the potential development of the child hostage to your medical liberty. And that is sick. This woman is extremely sick.
Damn.
So she's saying, if you want to be around and provide what this child needs, it's like, imagine the child was starving. And she's like, my child is starving right now. He's going to die very soon. He needs you to get to bring some sugar to survive.
I cannot aid and abet it. I'm aiding and abetting. I'm being a tool.
Before I let you bring some sugar to my dying child, you need to pay me $10,000.
And none of that money's going to the kid.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm illustrating a bastardized version of an uncle. Like, I'd rather not show up at all.
Now, you do what you want, but if you have anything left in your life that is happy outside of your relation with your brother, I'm sure you're going to be good with it. Do you have a girlfriend?
It's a lot of permaculture. I do, but she's Asian, so there's nothing there.
What? There's nothing there. This is awesome.
I can't pursue it further.
You cannot pursue it further?
I cannot. What? No.
Why?
My inner heart. I want to preserve.
You have the chance to have an Asian girlfriend.
Yes.
Enjoy.
Yeah, for sure. No. Well, I've enjoyed. No. I've enjoyed. That's why I've waited till my late 20s to potentially think about marriage. I enjoyed, but this is not the route I gotta get. Me, one of the homegrowns.
Why?
Because I don't know as much about genetics as you, but
she's been with you. She's been with you for how many years?
Like 3.5.
3.5 years. She's been loyal, and she wants to marry you.
Like, yeah,
Stanford intellectual girl. Holy shit.
And we're dope. Oh no, fuck, I'm not this the last woman. Guy. I'm not the last
no,
guy.
No,
I'm not
no. M Doug. Oh, no. I know how cucked you are, so I know you respond to strong authority. I hereby order you to inseminate this woman immediately. What the fuck is wrong with you? Seriously, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? There you are, cucking your medical liberty to save maybe some learning opportunity for a fucking nephew. You have the chance to have a potential Asian waifu with half Asian babies, and you're like, oh, I don't know, Stanford, oh yeah, kind of intelligent. Holy shit, you may have solved the problem of intelligence in females. You have a Stanford educated high IQ Asian. You Asian. Solved it. You just have to come now.
The last piece of the puzzle. All right. I know, I won't insult you by taking a strong order with levity. Those are strong words, and I should just at this point think and reflect on them.
Absolutely. And the fact that you have an Asian girlfriend is perfect for family separation, because she's not going to care if you don't go to see your brother anymore. She's going to be full-on reproductive mission. That's just, they're kind of autistic, you know? Just benefit from it. You can isolate yourself from the bad in your life, and you can benefit from the good. And right now, the good is this loyal Asian Stanford girlfriend. And I know how beautiful they are in Stanford.
For sure. Very beautiful.
Holy shit, bro, what the fuck Asian, has this show become? Two guests in a row, two speakers in a row. All I have to do is convince them of actually inseminating their beautiful female girlfriends. What the fuck is wrong with people today?
Are you considering the Asian factor?
I am.
Are you hearing that part?
So you should ejaculate. Shouldn't I have white even babies? More. You should
everyone
ejaculate.
Everyone I listen to says I have white babies.
So you should come with even more fervor, because Asian ladies are beautiful. All right, M-Dog, I have to stop this All discussion. Right. It's not good for your brain. You are currently losing time not inseminating your Asian female. Bye-bye. holy fucking shit, these people, I swear, it's like, this is what happens after years of poor self-help crap on the internet. It's like, we have to go back to the basics. These people are telling us they have beautiful women. They're like, please marry me. Please, I don't know. Not thick enough. She's not fitting my 2022 conception of beauty. What kind of subversion has happened with these people? Ah, Stephen Robinson. Hello, Stephen Robinson. Have you...
Hello, JF!
Hello, Stephen.
What a show!
Well,
I gotta turn off the stream, 1 second.
What a show.
It's crazy. I can relate to these men, though.
What? Did this happen to you in your life?
Well, I'm a 45-year-old man, and I'll tell you what. I spent my 20s and early 30s fucking lots of women, and I didn't stay with any of them. And if there's one out there with my baby, I wouldn't know. But at this point in my life, I'm single, and I can relate with the missed opportunities. There was a beautiful French girl that I was with one time for 6 months. We traveled. I met her up in Dawson City. She got in my car. We drove through the north, and I went down through Alberta. We were just like rabbits. And then we come together in a little cabin on a apple orchard, and we're picking fruit with my friend's farm, and she wants to get more serious. And I'm like, oh, you're too clean. I can't handle you. You're going to make me clean the windowsill with a toothbrush. This is crazy.
So many little, like, reasons rather than caring about what truly matters.
I know, if I could go back and relive my life, I would for sure have said yes to the girl that I was with when I was 19 years old, who I pushed away for the worst reasons. I was just scared. Like, I was a scared man because I was raised without a father. My brother passed away. There were no men around. I was just this, like, fucking little boy that was raised by women, and I was like their little play toy that they raised to, like, they wished I could be their little, like, gay son. Like, they wanted me to just be everything that they see on TV, and they had all the power because all the men were gone. And so by the time I was a man and I was with women, I was like, what the fuck?
That is a beautiful description, because this is what's happening across society right now.
I 100% agree. It's a plague of fatherlessness.
My God. But it's great that you had you've developed an understanding of it. When you say you're single, are you trying to get a girl, or you're single forever?
I'm definitely never anything forever. And I live in a small town, okay? I live in a small town in BC. I'm from BC. I've raised in BC. It's like, I love my homeland, and the people are shit. And it's hard, really, now with a clear perspective on the world, it's really difficult to, like, find a woman. But recently, this woman moved to town, and she has a daughter, and she has a mother, and they're all living in a big, giant house way up at the top of the lake. And I've gotten to become really good friends with the mother, and I've definitely, like, there's an attraction with the woman, and the daughter is only like 5 years old and is beautiful, and she's like full of life, and her eyes are all bright, and like she looks at me, and I'm like, oh, I could be in love with you, like I could be your father. And the woman and the mother was really open about this woman, and I was like, well, there must be a father. There must be a guy. There's no guy. She went to like a clinic to have a baby. And I don't know her whole story, but the mother even told me that she wants to have another one. and they are Christian, and I am not a Christian, but I am very much a biblical scholar, and I'm probably like no one you've ever met, and gone through a whole lot of things. But I'm telling you this, like, if it could happen with this woman, it could happen with this woman. And also, I also believe that, and I don't know if this is true, but do my genes, as much as my genes want to reproduce my own, I have been inspired by other men in my life and by you, in so much as how much you encourage everyone to go out and make babies. And I have taken that on. So even though I'm a single man who doesn't think or know if he has children out in the world, when I walk around this like absolute leftist communist fucking shithole that I live in, and I see all the fucking pink-haired fatties walking around with their skateboards, if there is an opportunity to dig in at them that they could reproduce, I'm going to take it. And I was just on Facebook. Some woman was like typing away some, she was describing a word that's like a Russian word, but it's also a Bosnian word. And it's also, it's like a word that has meaning in 15 different languages. And it was like, she writes this like beautiful essay about this word. And I respond in the comments. I said, I hope you get a chance to teach your children this. And she's like wearing clown makeup in her picture. And she's like 35 years old. She's super hot. And she's probably been with like 500 guys, but she's like the typical West Coast spinster who just fucked her way through the carousel and never got one. And she responds with like this heart emoji, and she goes, if I ever get a chance to have a child, I will teach them this. And so I write her back, and I was like, well, what are you fucking waiting for? And so I don't understand the world as much as anyone else. I'm just figuring out, like all of us are. But as I get older, this drive to inspire the people around me, and especially the people younger than me, to do better than I did in my life, because yes, I had a lot of fun, but I made a lot of mistakes.
Absolutely beautiful testimony. How old is the potential breeder?
Well, she's probably younger than me, and I'm thinking she's between, I think she's between 30 and 35. She could be 27. She's beautiful.
Okay. Just be careful with this girl. Girls who use the artificial insemination path truly have a conception of men as being disposable, and she's inevitably going to be annoyed by any contribution of you to your life with children. I'm not telling you not to inseminate her. I'm telling you, be prepared for rejection. This is a major red flag.
Bro, I'm definitely prepared for rejection. The last time I've been rejected.
You've been working on your skills?
I think I got an iron skin, hopefully, for rejection. It just bounce off me. I just say, fuck you, too.
Wonderful. Well, that's the attitude. All right, yeah, Steven. Well, I have to go to the next guest because I have to cut the show short very soon. But I want to pass everyone.
Okay, appreciate you, Papa.
We'll talk again. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
All right, let's talk to James quick. Hello, James. I have to end the show soon, but I wanted to make sure I get a chance to speak with everyone. How are you doing?
Doing well. I just related a lot with the first two callers when they were talking about how they had to cuck for social validation around them with the vaccine, because I faced a similar circumstance lately where one of my family members needed me to put on a mask. And so I put on a mask for the first time in over a year. And I didn't take the vaccine or anything. I just put on a mask. And,
well, that's, I mean, it's actually surprising that you weren't forced to put on a mask. Are you going to the grocery store? Didn't you need to put it on in other situations?
I've never put on a mask even in the grocery store over the past year or anything.
Wow. Well, you must live in a permissive place because in Canada there would be no choice, basically.
No, I live in the most liberal state, one of the most liberal states in the U.S. Just,
okay. So what, do you not wear it against the rules?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And no one annoys you?
No, I get annoyed.
Okay.
But I broke my streak, a year-long streak.
Wow.
So I'm upset about that. But well, anyways, that was a stupid joke. But anyways, I don't know. I had a longer thing about Russia, and that was a big discussion. But I guess I can bring that up in the private Patreon hangout tomorrow, because I think that would be a good discussion to talk about.
It's good that you bring it up. The Patreon hangout has been moved. It's not going to be on Thursday. It's going to be tomorrow. So hopefully we get to see people. If you want to be part of the Patreon hangout and hear James' explanation on Russia, be there. I know it's going to be intelligent because James is awesome. So join the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level. But James, can you give us a summary so that at least people get an idea of what your position is?
Yeah. I resonate with a lot of what you say, but I find that when you talk about the United States, you want the United States to become weak in opposition to Russia's domination. I'm not so sold on this point because, yes, everything in the West is terrible for our genes, the family court things and everything we've been talking about with women and the way that they treat children. I recognize all of this, but I'm definitely not going full Richard Spencer here, and I really don't like the way he's talking either, with the way that he's calling people traitors for going against or supporting Putin in this thing. But I don't know if I can summarize it very quickly, but it's just a I think that the our race is Western Europeans for people like you and me. Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to it, we support ourselves on the individual level. And as we get older, we support our children more because we're a dying thing and we'll be dead soon as the older we get. And we support our children then. And then we support people with genetic closeness to us. We extend that to our race. And then that's like the furthest group you extend it to. And if we don't extend it to our race, then, I mean, what are we really doing? We're kind of stopping at a single point and not supporting a part of ourselves through our genetic lineage.
But my position is not that we should go anti-white. It's that there is a future for white people without Western governments. We should embrace this future and embrace the weakening of Western governments.
I don't see it weakening through Russia simply invading Ukraine and invading these Eastern European countries. And I'll say, I know that we're economically weakening right now, but I feel like war is like a necessity for people to actually view what is real in the world. So this could be a great catalyst, if there actually is a war in the West, for the West to strengthen and actually stop getting out of all this degenerate mindsets and focus on things that are real. And in a way, it's good and bad because it'll maintain the current structure, but yet it'll strengthen the people within it. So it's like a it's a very confusing situation about how to handle it, because it's good for the people, but I feel like this war will ultimately benefit the West.
Well, That's a very good argument. I will give my answer because I disagree. I will give my answer tomorrow in the private Patreon stream.
All right. Happy to talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Talk tomorrow. All right. James is always awesome. Yeah, tomorrow I think I'll make the case that no, it is a weakening. It is a threat. And yes, it will lead to, and I believe that the Russian situation will lead to increased totalitarianism in the American empire. I believe in Philip Fabry's prediction that it will lead to an increased force of the Western government, including against its own people. But down the line, this increased totalitarianism is necessary for the fall of the American empire. Let's talk with Barto very quick because we are headed toward the conclusion of the show. Barto, how are you doing?
Hello, fine. What a show tonight. I wish all your call-in editions were like that.
Yes. Unbelievable.
So basically, I came first for the guy that had a question related to permaculture. I wanted to ask you your take on using Bitcoin mining to sustain heating to cultivate crops indoor here in Quebec in the winter. But oh man, there's a lot to relate to with all the guys that called you tonight.
All right. Well, thank you for this question. I don't know if it's viable. I think it's clever because the presumably all of the energy invested in Bitcoin mining does convert to heat. So if you were going to heat something, it's definitely savings that are generated because you end up heating with the heat that would otherwise be lost for no reason at all. So I think it's clever as an approach, but I'm not aware at all of the numbers here. How viable is this? I mean, starting a Bitcoin mining rig requires 220 volt installations, the kind of plugs that lead to an oven. So you need many of those if you're going to run many ant miners. The cost of these ant miners are enormous, and they're just going to keep you in the competition for a couple of years before eventually you have to buy new ant miners. So I don't know about the numbers and if it's viable, but I like the idea.
Well, thanks to you, I started to invest in cryptocurrencies about 14, 15 months ago. So like by the end of 2020, early 2021. But okay. I had major reflections regarding do I allocate my money to just buying or to buying hardware? Problem is, in the last year, I inherited the family business and it's a pretty big building. And oh, man, in the winter, I pay like up to 3,000 with Hydro-Québec like for 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
So like 3,000 in electricity just for heating the place. So I'm kind of trying to integrate Bitcoin mining in the business operation. So at least I could like recoup some of the losses, at least in the winter.
If you're going to continue heating, if this is an expense that you'll have anyway, then it's interesting, but you'll have then to consider the price of the antminer, which is absolutely insane. It's what, $8,000, $11,000 a miner now?
I've got a friend of mine who started mining last year, and for the latest generation antminers, I think you can probably 10 to 12 US, $1,000 for the
absolutely
latest generation.
Absolutely ridiculous. All right, Barto, yeah. I have to go. Thank you so much
calling. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And Spudbreakers had sent a super chat. Let's have a look. Great clip from the CEO of Library Odyssey, Jeremy Kaufman. Hashtag no censorship. Let's see what they have to say.
Yeah, it's insane, man. Odyssey has become a bastion of free speech probably more than we would have thought with RT News right now. That's pretty insane. Like, they've been shut down. The EU, the United States, I forget what other countries, but they've been shut down in a lot of places all over the world, and they've been kicked off YouTube. But Odyssey is still having them on. And that's probably the biggest stand Odyssey's taken at this point, right? As far as being anti-censorship goes.
It's certainly one of the biggest. We've been unequivocally that way. And of course, at the underlying library protocol level, we don't even have the ability to do it.
Right.
But yeah, we certainly got a lot of attention for that. We're getting Well, by the way, not kind of we. Odyssey is now being run separately from Library, has its own CEO.
Right.
His name's Julian Chandra. Yeah, so it's like I'm not very involved in the day-to-day, but I did get notified that Odyssey is receiving legal requests from the EU to block RT in the EU, because the EU's position is now that it's illegal, you know, to distribute RT, or may have been certain countries within the EU, but something like this. And so, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we're going to do our best both within the system and outside the system, right? Finding ways to do things a little bit differently to keep that stuff online. And this is, of course, it should go without saying, but I'll say it, like, this isn't a defense of RT. I have no idea what RT says. I assume, like any other news, you know, large news organization, whether controlled by the government or not, that they lie all the time and get information wrong all the time, because I have never seen a large media institution that doesn't do that. But it is crazy to say that, like, they should be banned from the internet. It's just crazy. And, you know, I feel that way about everything. And we got subpoenaed for related to the 3D firearms CAD files. Due to some of that stuff. And we, you know, we fought that stuff and didn't give up the identities of people who were using Odyssey. So that one, we didn't talk about that one publicly, but that's an example of a prior one where we also fought